Pray with me. Precious Lord Jesus, it's been a challenging last 5-6 weeks, Lord, in the lives of so many in our church family. Lord, I can't remember a time when there's many people seen to have been going through just some personal storms and challenges. And Lord, today I just pray that you will bring your comfort, your peace. Father, just the power of your grace and mercy upon all of us, but particularly those, Lord, who have been going through those difficult times, who have lost someone special, who have faced a sickness, who are dealing with a relational challenge, whatever it might be. Lord, just move as we look into your word today, Lord. May it not just be words, but may your word, Lord, just infiltrate our hearts, that we might walk out here truly reminded what a great and awesome God you are, and how important it is that we make you the cornerstone of our lives as we go through this world. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. How many of you have purchased a home at some point in time? Anybody? At the various houses, think back on what were some of the things that you most focused on. The number of rooms there, whether it had wood flooring as opposed to carpeting, how big was the kitchen. I mean, those are the kind of issues that are typically of the most importance to a person who is purchasing a home. I doubt that many of you had on your list of questions is this one. Well, how strong is the foundation of this house? Why not? Because the foundation is not typically a particularly noteworthy part of a home. Nadine and I have been in our home for 30 years now. And not once in those 30 years has someone visiting our home commented on our foundation. Now, part of this I know is the foundation is not readily visible. And in buying a home, we all tend to assume that with modern building codes, the foundation will be strong and will be secure. But if it is not, you may not even notice unless and until a natural disaster strikes, a hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake. When one of those hits, if the foundation is not strong, what appears to be a beautiful home full of expensive stuff may come crashing down around you. I expect that some people on the Texas coast are discovering that this very weekend with the arrival of Hurricane Harvey. And our prayers are with all of the people impacted by Harvey. But the principle of the foundation being the key to the wise construction of a home, that applies also to the wise construction of a person's life. You know, Jesus made this clear in a verse that we're going to look at, a passage. It's in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 7, starting with verse 24. You can open your Bibles, or you can look up on the screen. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had as its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And of course, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus here is simply recognizing that we all are building our lives on a foundation of something. And the question for you today is, are you building your life on rock, or are you building it on sand? Another story about house building deals with the dangers of constructing a home with inferior materials. Now, this story does not come from the Bible, but rather from a fairy tale that most of us, I believe, are familiar with. It's about three anthropomorphic pigs. Anthropomorphic simply means they are pigs with human characteristics, okay? And you think I didn't pay attention in high school English class, right? Well, in this story, each pig builds a house. One with straw, one with sticks, and one with bricks. And the bad guy in this fairy tale is, of course, the big bad. He comes to each house, requests entrance. And these pigs are not dense. They refuse to let him in. And they express their refusal to let him in with that classic line, "No, no, not by the..." You all are good. And then the wolf huffs and he puffs. And it turns out that the first two pigs, those who built their homes on straw and sticks, were not so smart after all, because their homes come tumbling down around them. But the pig who built his house with brick, his house stands the test. And ultimately, he defeats the wolf. You can read the rest of that story on your own if you've forgotten how the third little piggy disposes of the big bad wolf. And although I don't know if the author of this fairy tale was familiar at all with the Bible, the concept there is not all that different from a principle the Apostle Paul would communicate to a church in the city of Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work." Now again, it all begins with the foundation. But then what materials, what choices we make in building upon that foundation, those are critical as well. And this may not seem like such a big deal when it is sunny and clear with light winds from the northeast, but they become absolutely critical when facing a natural disaster, an earthquake or a tornado or a hurricane. I happened to be in Miami a little over 20 years ago, attending a seminar shortly after Hurricane Andrew had blown through, 25 years ago actually. And I had some time off from the seminar, so I drove south to Homestead, Florida. That was ground zero where the hurricane had made landfall. Friends, the destruction I witnessed was incredible, but no more than the devastation I have witnessed over the years in the lives of people who have built their lives on the sand that is a life without Christ as its foundation, and then have built a life around the kinds of choices that naturally flow when Christ is not its foundation, is not its primary reference point. So this morning I want to talk about the home, the life that you are building. Because it's true, at some point in time, it will face a natural disaster. At some point in time, the big bad wolf will show up at the door of your home. It may be the big bad wolf of death. As I said, these last 5 weeks have been just beyond anything that I've experienced in the last 23 years in terms of the passings of loved ones from people of this church. In fact, it was just a little over 5 weeks ago that our family was at the bedside of my wife, Nadita's mom, as we said our goodbyes to her, and she left this world. And in those 5+ weeks since, I think there have been probably 8 or 9 other families who have experienced the death of a loved one, including Dave Schoolfield, whose mom left us just 2 days ago. It may be the big bad wolf of the pain and sadness that comes from a child who is not walking down the path that you dreamed for them. Perhaps they're even walking down a road that you can see is going to take them right over a cliff. But as we all learn at some time as parents, there comes a time with our children where there is little, if anything, other than praying that we can do to stop them from heading down some pretty destructive paths. Perhaps it is the big bad wolf of a marriage that did not turn out the way you dreamed it would, when you first walked down the aisle together. Or perhaps a big bad wolf is completely blowing down the house that was your marriage through the divorce or maybe the death of your spouse. And now you are single again, trying to get used to a status you never thought you would experience again, at least not yet. Perhaps it is a big bad wolf of sickness. A routine afternoon hiking or in your backyard resulted in a bug bite that has left you with a disease that doctors cannot explain and that your health insurance won't even recognize. And you long to feel as you did before that bug came along. Perhaps it's the big bad wolf of career aspirations that did not turn out as you had planned. Oh, there was a time you were going to conquer the world, but now you feel like the world has conquered you. Perhaps it's the big bad wolf of a financial disaster due to unexpected bills, perhaps the loss of a job, or simply bad management on your part. You now have more month than you have money, and you don't know how you are going to make ends meet. See, friends, the big bad wolf of sadness and loss and pain and suffering comes to every house, just as the wolf came to each of the homes of the three little pigs, just as natural disasters come to every region eventually, a hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake. Yes, some areas may be more prone than others, but none are natural disaster proof. I think Jesus tells us in the parable from Matthew we read, because in that, both the wise and the foolish man have their houses face a natural disaster. The big bad wolf comes to call on both of them. And I believe Jesus wants to make it clear that neither you nor I can create a life that never will face a natural disaster, that will never experience the big bad wolf knocking on his door. Sometimes people think that if they follow Christ, he will somehow protect them from ever facing pain or sadness. I have heard well-meaning church people say when trying to console someone, well, God will never allow you to face more than you can handle. Which is church speak for, it won't get any worse. The verse they will often refer to is this one found in 1 Corinthians. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. All right? He does not say you will not face events of life that may seem at times to be almost more than you can bear. Ultimately, in this world, we will all face loss. Friends, death is inevitable. And you will not likely make it through this world without one day sitting by the bedside of someone you love as they prepare to leave this world. The difference for the Christ follower is what we believe awaits on the other side of death. We all will face sadness and pain and hurt in this world, sometimes caused by events, sometimes caused by other people. So natural disasters will come to all houses. The big bad wolf will one day knock on every door. The parable told in Matthew is not a story by Jesus telling you how to build a bad wolf-free zone around your life. He is simply making the point that how well you or I handle those disasters, events, will depend on what is the foundation that we have been building our lives upon. Is it a foundation of sand? The things the world tells us will enable us to survive a natural disaster? Or is it a foundation of the solid rock that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? This is a choice that we all have to decide what foundation we will choose and then what choices we will make to build upon that foundation that will ultimately determine how we will handle the big bad wolf of sadness, failure, and loss when it comes knocking at our door. And in my time remaining, I want to provide three principles that I believe will apply when a natural disaster comes the way of a person who is building their life on the solid rock of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Three things. You will have the power to persevere. Jesus said this, John 16:33. Read this together, will you? I have told you these things. Jesus says it quite clearly. In this world, here on this earth, you will face trouble. But you need not worry. Because my walking out of the tomb that first Easter morning should be proof to you that I am stronger than any trouble that might come your way. Now, I won't exempt you from that trouble if you become my follower, just as my Father did not exempt me from going to the cross. But I will give you the power you need to persevere through whatever troubles you may face. Paul wrote this to the church in Colossae. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have what? Great endurance and patience. When Christ is the foundation, you have the power to persevere through even the worst of natural disasters. And, you know, we can sometimes lose sight of that truth. Because when a person has faced a significant loss or hurt or pain, there can be this tendency, this human tendency, to want to protect themselves from it happening again. To isolate oneself, to pull away from people so that we will never feel that pain again. To reason, well, if I allow my heart to become vulnerable again, I might face rejection. Or the person I love might die. A person who is rejected by a person who was a friend sometimes then refuses to enter into new friendships. A person who feels like their dream was crushed refuses to dream again. And people think, I am going somewhere the big bad wolf won't be able to find me. A place where there is no sadness and pain. Friends, I want to tell you something. There is no such place. Not on this side of the grave. If you choose to love and to dream, you have to take a risk that you may face pain and sadness. Just part of the deal. I thought of how children are a prime example of this. Those of you that are parents, you know there is no greater joy than having a child. But they don't come with a pain-free guarantee, do they, parents? No, quite the opposite. From the pain of childbirth, through the teenage rebellion years, and on until the day they bury you, your children will bring you great joy and at times great sadness. But I can tell you as a parent, any sadness pales in comparison with the joy. If you want to try to live in a bad, wolf-free zone and to live a safe, relatively plain life, you can try that, but you will miss out on so much joy. Many of you may have heard the story of C.S. Lewis, the great Christian thinker, writer. He had lost his mom as a child. And so he made all these efforts to kind of build his life in such a way that he would be immunized from any further hurt and pain. And part of that was avoiding any romantic relationships. Until despite all those efforts, in his 50s, he fell in love and was married. And then his wife contracted a sickness that took her life. I want you to listen to the words that he would write while he was in the midst of dealing with her dying. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung. Possibly broken. If you want to be sure of keeping it intact, do not give it to anyone, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or the coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. Your heart, it will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. My daughter Allison introduced her mom, Nadita, my wife, and me, to a song called Supermarket Flowers by Ed Sheeran. Since the passing of Lydia's mom, I don't know how many times she's played and listened to this song. But the song is the testimony to Ed's grandmother who had passed away. And although, need to warn you, this is not, to my understanding, a Christian song, I believe the sentiments in it are similar to those expressed by C.S. Lewis's words. As Sheeran sings these words, "Oh, I'm in pieces. It's tearing me up. But I know a heart that's broke is a heart that's been loved." And then in another chorus, "And I hope that I see the world as you did, Grandma, because I know a life with love is a life that's been lived." Yes, pain and sadness will come your way in this world. Jesus said so. But do not allow it to cause you to be afraid to love again, or to avoid new friendships, or to try to isolate yourself from the community that God wants for you. Because Jesus has overcome, you have the power to persevere through any trouble that might come your way. Secondly, when these troubles come, we can lean into the wonder of His comfort. The wonder of His comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 5. Let's read this together. "Praise be to the God and Father, God never promised us a disaster-free life, that we would never face any pain or sadness in the world. But He did promise that in those times He would unleash the floodgates of His love and compassion upon us so that we could then unleash it upon one another. That is at the center of a church and the community. That is at the heart of what Pastor Blake is trying to build, I believe, in our life groups. Because it's a place where it's happening. Now, it does not mean that these times we're facing are not hard. It just means that you don't go through them alone. Amazing, but the story of the Bible teaches that God walks with those who suffer. For on the cross, Jesus took upon Himself not only our guilt and shame, He took something else as well. On the cross, He took upon Himself our hurts and our suffering. Nicholas Walterstorff was a father. He lost his son. And he spoke of a moment when, as he was mourning his loss, he came to this realization, or perhaps better put, I believe he had a revelation from God. And this is what the dad who was preparing to bury his son would write. "It is said of God, 'No one can behold His face and live.' I always thought this meant that no one could see God's splendor and live. A friend said to me that perhaps it means no one could see God's sorrow and live. Or perhaps God's sorrow is His splendor." Friends, God chose to suffer for us when He could have chosen to take a pass on going to the cross. But He did not. So the disaster will come, the big bad wolf will come knocking, but if you have as your foundation the rock that is Jesus, He who knows your pain will be there walking with you every step of the way until you come out the other side. It's been pretty grim, I expect, the last couple of days on the Texas coast. But one thing is certain. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. But before this week is out, the sun will shine again. And it will shine in our lives as well, so long as we are building them on the rock that is Jesus. And what's so amazing is when you are hurting, you can go right to Him with whatever is causing you pain. The writer of Hebrews writes this, Hebrews 4. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses or struggles, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. And these words, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Whatever it is you're facing or will face, Jesus understands, friends. My precious mom has been gone from this world for almost 3 years now. There's so much that I miss about her. One of the main things was that she was always there for me with a listening and an understanding ear. Whenever I was hurting, whenever I was facing a natural disaster in my life, it was the same when I was six and she would comfort me when I fell off the swing set. When I was 23 and the girl I thought I was going to marry married someone else. And when I was 43 and one of my children was facing a challenge that I was unable to fix, she would listen patiently. She always seemed to understand. It was as if my hurt had become her hurt. And she would always say these same words. Davy, I don't know why she did that, but Davy, this too will pass. And she was always right. The sun did shine again. Today, I so wish I could go to her when the clouds get dark. I can't. But I can go to someone even more understanding and empathetic and wise than my mom. I can go to Jesus. And so can you. We can go boldly to His very throne, and He will give us comfort and the help that we need. Third and final principle, He'll give us the wisdom to make wise choices. We started with a little earlier with this verse, but I want to read it again, get it back fresh in our mind. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 13. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, the foundation. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. You know, in Jesus' parable and Paul's words there, they both use the metaphor for building a home to describe building a life. Because we all are in the process of constructing our character each and every day through the choices that we make. And the wisdom of the choices you and I make will determine the sturdiness of the home, of the life we are building. How well it will withstand the natural disasters that will inevitably come our way. See, you are the one who gets to choose whether you build your home with straws and sticks or with brick. Every day you will make a multitude of choices that are another piece of material that is going into the construction of the character that will define your life. Every day you choose, will I deceive or tell the truth? Will I hold a grudge or forgive? Will I hold on to or give away? Will I criticize or will I build up? Will I pour into another or will I pour into myself? The opportunities to make these choices, friends, come at us so fast each and every day. And we may think they don't really matter, that they're not really all that big a deal. But they are. Because each of these choices are a piece of the material that you are using to build your house, your character, your life. And what materials you are using will ultimately determine how you will deal with a big bad wolf when he comes knocking at your door. Worship team's going to come up and get ready for the closing song. You know, this past weekend, Hurricane Harvey made landfall on the Texas coast. And as catastrophic as it may turn out to be financially, it will be nothing like the hurricane that came ashore not far from where Harvey hit. This hurricane hit on September 8, 1900. It was also a Category 4. And it resulted in the deaths of between 6,000 and 12,000 people. The city of Galveston was totally demolished. 30,000 people, which was basically the entire city of Galveston, were left homeless. Now, there will be a number of reasons for the much less devastating results from this hurricane. Early warning, things like that. But a big reason will be that the homes are now built on much stronger foundations. So let me ask a question for you to ponder as you leave here today. If a Hurricane Harvey was to strike your life, what is the foundation that you are building your life on? Can you say this morning, the foundation, it is Christ alone, your cornerstone, that through whatever storm may come your way, he is your Lord of all.